All right, welcome everyone to the April 7th Identity Implementers Working Group call. Thank you all for joining us today and thank you for your patience with the Zoom situation. My name is Shar Howland and I'm a co-moderator of this group with Heather Dahl. Today we'll plan to cover some working group status updates, and in the second half of the call we'll hear a presentation from Carl Nies of IDRAMP. A demo of the IDRAMP platform and how they've used Hyperledger technology to accelerate adoption of new identity technology like verifiable credentials. So very much looking forward to that.
But I think everybody that's on that list wants to be on there.
And as usual, since this is a Hyperledger call, the antitrust policy and Hyperledger code of conduct are in effect. This means that we are collaborators in this space.
We can do that. This is Aaron.
Okay. So the first thing to do is get rid of M1 members.
So this means that we are collaborators in this space, and we make sure that anything under patent protections or anything confidential or proprietary stays out of the call. But of course, if anything doesn't fall under any sort of confidentiality agreements and that you'd like to share with the group, you are more than welcome to do so and very encouraged to give a presentation. So just let me know when and what you'd like to present on, and we'll schedule your presentation or demo for the upcoming call. This call, of course, is being recorded and will be posted on the meeting page later today. And with that, would anyone like to introduce yourself if you are new or rejoining or just would like to say hi and a few words about what you're involved in this space?
Hi, Char. This is Carl. I'm new to this community, so look forward to learning more about what you're working on here, and I'll explain more about what we're doing in the demo later.
Great. Thanks for introducing yourself, Carl. We're looking forward to hearing about it.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kyle Robinson, and I've been in some other Hyperledger groups. And this is my first time to the identity group. I work alongside colleagues in the BC government, and we are doing a lot of work with the SSI space, not just identity type of use cases, but other use cases with the SSI model. So I'm interested to hear what this group is doing.
Great, we're glad to have you, Kyle. Thanks for joining us. Anyone else want to introduce themselves? If you all could go ahead and put your name under the attendees list here in this link that I just sent out, that would be great so that we know who's attending our calls. And so now we'll move on to announcements. As we've talked about before, we have the IIW Internet Identity Workshop on later this month, April 26th to 28th. There's a registration link if you're interested. There's also a Cardia demo day 1 week from today on April 14th. And there's a Zoom link if you are interested in joining that. And then lastly, just to reiterate that the move to Discord is now complete. And here's that invitation if you haven't yet joined. Are there any other announcements that I'm missing? Great, then we can move on to working group reports. There's a lot of great work going on, so please feel free to jump in if I'm missing a meeting or a project that is relevant to the group and that you would like to share. So we can start with the main identity working group. I don't believe they have a March meeting on the calendar as far as I could tell. So likely in our next meeting, we'll have an update on what they're working on, but it sounds like they meet roughly monthly. Does anyone have any information on this group that they want to share? All right. For the Indie Contributors call, they met last week and had a presentation on the Indie Node Container project. Here's a link to the GitHub repo if you're interested. Did anybody attend this call who would like to give a report?
So I didn't attend that call, but I was in a different call with Stephen Curran, who is, they've made quite a bit of progress on the NDDID method. And so those links are there with all that information. Basically what's going on, for those of you who aren't following so closely, is in the early days, the world revolved around sovereign. And so the DID sov was kind of the anchor to the world. And as we've moved into having different ledgers, even indie-based ledgers in different spots, they're working on revising that. So we'll get a DID indie, and maybe it'll say like DID indie colon sov kind of thing. And so that way, everything's not anchored into sovereign and it's more interoperable. And that's happening with the, they're making that kind of a soft break from sovereign in the anon creds as well. And so, the links that are there have quite a bit more information, but that is some notable progress that a lot of us have been looking forward to for a long time.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Steve. There's a link to, you can check out the whole call from the latest DID Indie method meeting, but there's also the extracted segment just of Daniel Bloom's demo, and then the slides as well, if you'd like to get more information on that. All right, Aries Working Group. Would anyone like to report on this who attended the call? So this week they had, from Sheldon Regular, they had the Aries Mobile Test Harness demo. Here are those slides linked. And then Stephen Curran talked about supporting DID Indie in Aries. And then the week before that, Sam talked about DID ownership, and there's the HackMD with more details. How about Bifold? Anyone attend that call who would like to report? And based on their notes in last week's meeting, they talked about Bifold library, framework library, and state management. Let's see, Aries Cloud Agent Python. We had several presentations. We heard from Ryan Tatton on using ACAPI in a serverless environment. We also heard about the Aries CLI from Animo Solutions and adding DIDCOM v2 and Credential Exchange v3 to support ACAPI. And then I believe they said another week or two until we'll have the release candidate for ACAPI 074. And Aries Framework Go, anybody attend that? See, there weren't too many notes on their meeting page. I believe they mainly discussed work updates and design. How about Aries Framework JavaScript? So last week they talked about out of band and DID exchange, specifically preserving the old DID format out of band reuse and using the DID key method. And then the week before that, they talked about again, out of band and DID exchange and embedding images in the connection. And then Hyperledger Ursa, I don't believe they've met since we last met, so no new updates on that from me, unless anyone has any that I'm missing. All right, now we can move on to the Trust Over IP Foundation. We reported last time on their all members meeting on March 16th. I believe they meet roughly monthly. So in our next call, we'll hear an update from them. Let's see, on the steering committee, it looks like their last meeting was just before our last meeting. And we heard about those proceedings from Steve, in particular, the California Senate bill that would allow high school students to assert their transcripts as verifiable credentials to California universities. Steve, did you have any update on that you wanted to give, or on the steering committee as a whole?
No, not yet. We haven't met since then.
Okay, great. Let's see, the communications committee, they again are discussing that California Senate bill, SB 1190, that we just talked about, blog updates as well. I believe I also saw a note about how Carl Neese and Mike Vesey are working on a blog post about decentralized identity. Would you like to give an update on that, Carl, if I'm correct about that?
I'm sorry, I'm multitasking. So you're asking about the blog post we're working on for Trust Over IP?
Yeah. If you are interested in giving a brief update.
Oh, certainly. We're collaborating with the communications committee to create a series of blog posts just focused on adoption, really, from an enterprise C-level perspective. So it's trying to be, you know, less technical and more focused on some of the business levers that come to play when we're working with enterprise customers in this new technology.
Great. Thanks for giving that update. Let's see. On the governance stack, they met on the day of our last meeting 2 weeks ago, mainly discussed their work partnering with the Utility Foundry Group on the layer one governance templates. Anybody have anything to add on that? Let's see, the technology stack working group. Anybody attend this meeting who would like to give an update? Looks like they talked about the Trust Registry Task Force. So the WHO has a working group with the Linux Foundation Public Health on Global COVID Credentials Network on developing trust registry architecture for health credentials. And so they're working to enable interoperability between TUIP compliant trust registries. And then there's also the ACDC Authenticated Chained Data Container Task Force. And then we have links to the other special topics task forces as well. Let's see, on the Utility Foundry Group, let's see, I'm not sure I see Lynn on the call, but it looks like they're still working on the layer one utility guide rubric document. On the Ecosystem Foundry Group, they met last week and mainly went over a Q1 recap. I've included a link to their white paper and Learning Pathways Task Force. And their next speaker is IDEasy 1 week from today, if you're interested in checking that out. And then the Inputs and Semantics Working Group, they have several subgroups, and there's a link there if you would like to learn more. Concepts and Terminology. As far as I could tell, I don't believe they've met more recently than we have. And then the Good Health Pass Working Group also has several subgroups that meet at different cadences. And there's a link with more information if you're interested. Any other groups or projects or updates related to the Trust Over IP Foundation?
Yeah, I have one to tell this group about, Char, is there's the All Hands, Trust Over IP All Hands meeting on April 20th. Which I think is before the next meeting for this group.
Yeah.
The team that I'm with, we're actually doing a presentation on the solution that we're working on.
Great.
So April 20th.
Great. If you have a link to that you'd like to drop in the chat, feel free to do that and look forward to hearing about this.
I'll see if I can find something.
Great, thank you. All right, moving on to the DIF, the DIDCOM working group. Anyone attend the April 4th or March 31st meeting who would like to report on that?
Yes. So there's been a number of happenings in the DIDCOM group. First of all, the PR352, the service endpoint as an object. Basically, what's going on there is there's going to be a notable but fairly minor change to DIDCOM. If you follow that link in there, basically what was going on is the service endpoint had, and the JSON had some pure, like routing keys and stuff like that. And they were more peers to the service endpoint. And what was going on was, while that was supported by the standard, Microsoft did it, they supported it a different way for Ion, which made us, and they were also in compliance to the standard. So we were both in compliance, but doing it slightly different ways that made them incompatible. So what we decided to do was change the DIDCOM spec so that all the associated elements are under the service endpoint as opposed to peers to it. And that will help us be compatible with Ion. So that's a notable change that I think we merged that one. And so it's in the upcoming standard. The other thing that we're trying to do is get to a kind of a release candidate standard from our group that we will run by the DIF steering committee. And then we're trying to get that in place if possible by IIW so that we can evangelize the standard a little more there and people can start to run with it. What that will do once we hit that milestone is it'll make it so there won't be any major changes at all, and we can start safely building on the standard, which we're all doing anyway. But that's kind of what most of the discussion was in the April 4th meeting.
Great, thank you for that overview. Mm-hmm. That's exciting. All right, on the relatively new DIDCOM users group, has anybody joined this unsync meeting or is involved at all who would like to talk about it? All right, for the DIF interoperability group, looks like they heard from Irene Martinez about Verify Your Universal Interface, which is an interoperability working group that aims at building a complete set of standard APIs for verifier components in SSI ecosystems. And then this DIF wallet security working group, Jim St. Clair brought this to our attention last week. This group's goal is to define a common technology for understanding the security requirements applicable to wallet architectures and wallet-to-wallet and wallet-to-issuer verifier protocols. Anyone involved in that group at all? Who would like to report?
Yeah, I'd be lying to say that I'm involved with it because I can never keep it on my calendar, but I do follow the thread for all the meeting minutes and stuff that come out after the fact. And I think a lot of folks here recognize wallet security is not only critical from an architecture standpoint to these various solutions we want, it's also the area being explored with the EU with the e-identity wallet. So I think to the extent that we can all kind of sync up on it, it's very useful.
Great. Yeah, thanks for that update. All right, and the Sovereign Foundation, I'm looking at the time as well. Did anyone attend any of these working group meetings who would like to report?
I was unable to attend the last TGB meeting. I think it kind of surprised me on my calendar that it was a different time than we normally meet. So I think we're getting ready to meet again here in the next couple of weeks. A lot of the discussion there has been around organization, pricing, kind of structuring the tiers of participation in the sovereign network, trying to get all of that resolved to everybody's satisfaction. So there's been a number of discussions on there, and for the time being, the TGB and Steward Council are meeting on the same call. So there's still different groups, but we decided we needed everyone together for these organizational kinds of discussions. And so we'll be meeting jointly for the next little while.
Ah, great. And when did you say that next meeting is?
Yeah, I'll have to check my calendar. Like I say, the meeting we regularly had scheduled somehow got canceled and it didn't leave my calendar, and it was rescheduled for early in the morning on a different day. And so I noticed that change later in the day. So I missed the meeting, presuming that's when they had it, and then the next one got canceled. So I'll have to check back. My assumption is that we're going to meet on the regular schedule and hopefully not be rotating calendar times.
Ah, right. Thank you for that update. And then we had the SSI and IoT working group last week. Jim also gave us some great updates on this group and their projects, which center on decentralized identity management at the non-person identity entity device level. And that there's especially a lot of excitement around medical device security. I've linked the charter and white paper for that group in case you are interested in learning more. Jim, did you want to give any updates on that?
No, ma'am. Actually, you just summarized it perfectly, and I had completely forgotten that I'd given that summary. So you're right up to speed. But yeah, we're still chugging away on that, and I think we're going to have. I think it's going to be really exciting, and Michael Shea has done a fantastic job leading that over the last year, and we're talking much more specifically around applications. In fact, there was a presentation from another group that's involved in an industry standard, IFC 1783, which is device level authentication and provenance. It's actually looking to use a verifiable credential in association with a authentication chip on the silica as part of an industry standard for device validation.
Cool, thank you for that update. It'll be interesting to keep up with the work in that group and keep hearing those updates, so thank you. All right, lastly, wrapping up the updates, we have the W3C standard. I believe the main thing in the community credentials group on Tuesday, Daniel Hardman presented on DIDCOM V2. Here's the video and transcript if you'd like to read through those. Anybody attend that or anything, any updates related to W3C that you'd like to share? All right. And if there are any other working group or working groups or projects that I'm missing, feel free to let me know. But with that, I believe we can move on to our demo / presentation from Carl of ID Ramp. I'll hand it over to you, Carl.
I'm sorry, Shark, 30 seconds, and I don't want to interrupt because I'd love to hear from Carl and ID Ramp always. But on the other side, I just wanted to say, and I realize we're being recorded, so I'll be a little careful, but we are in the process of launching a new project in the Linux Foundation, specifically around decentralized identity management within DoD, hoping to have a kickoff and pull that together within the next week or so. So there'll be more publicly available there. And that will complement, for those who've been familiar with the Bedrock project, which while we're coming up with a new name for it, it will still be the project as intended with about 6 or 7 participants, and happy to give updates for that soon too. So thank you very much.
Jim, does that mean that the Bedrock project will morph into the DoD project naturally, or is that what you...
Carl, great question. I'm sorry for running that together. These are two discrete projects. One potentially with Army Futures Command, and then the Bedrock project, as you've known it, that will have a new name, but still with the existing use case around verifiable credentials for patient information, patient medical information that can be shared with USAA life insurance company for policies. Sorry.
That's exciting developments, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. Any other last working group updates that anyone would like to share? All right. Carl, whenever you're ready, we are excited for your demo and presentation.
Certainly. So again, nice to meet you all today. Some of you are familiar with IDRAMP and what we do, so apologies if there's any overlap with other presentations. So let me just go right ahead and share. I'm just going to do a show and tell really of the IDRAMP platform and talk about some of the use cases that we deal with. And of course, we're committed to the Hyperledger tool set to help deliver our play on decentralized identity. So we have a lot of enterprise customers, some public sector customers, and we deal with identity from a broad lens that we call orchestration. And what we mean by that is many of our customers have multiple clouds that they have to manage, multiple identity providers that they have to manage, and there's a lot of operational burden involved in those scenarios. So we try to provide a tool set to help make that journey of operation and evolution of their identity strategy simpler to deliver. And then, you know, with this very specific focus on helping them adopt decentralized identity and verifiable credentials in the way that we discuss them within this community. Here, what you're seeing is the IDRAMP platform, and go through some of the core configuration areas. So first, we start off with identity providers or data sources. So you can plug any identity provider or data source into IDRAMP to be orchestrated into an authentication flow or used for as an issuance, authoritative issuance source for verifiable credentials. Of course, we support aggregation with social logins if that's part of the use case, and factor KYC providers. Any ancillary services can be plugged into the authorization flow as well. These are just a couple of partners that we work with. All IDPs that we work with, including verifiable credentials, can have different rules applied to them depending on what the use case is. These are sort of attribute-based access rules, and I'll show you a little bit more about how they work later on. And of course, we have an analytics engine that allows you to sort of monitor your usage across different systems and compare those trends. It's got a great application for cost controls as well as security monitoring, for example. So moving over to the services section, so we have several different service types depending on the protocols that you're dealing with your relying party or your identity providers. But we also have a service type that we call a credential service. Here you see a configuration for something called an employee identification. In this case, what we've done is configured IDRAMP to link with an Azure AD OIDC instance. And then what we've done is created a schema. I believe this is living on the Indicio demo net. And then that schema is now mappable to the attributes in this directory, which are available through this dropdown. So, and you see that mapping here. Now, let me just show you what the access experience is like for that credential. So I'm already logged into, hold on. That is not part of the demo. Let me just pause. I need to get my password and re-log in. I don't want to share that. Sorry. And please do interrupt and ask questions if you have any while I'm going through.
Well, Carl, you've got FIDO2 enabled so that you're passwordless login, right?
Well, FIDO's a whole other
discussion, my friend.
Yeah, FIDO's a whole other discussion, and we certainly run into that, the need to support that as well, for sure.
It's good you caught that. In another call the other day, we had someone giving a demo, and their AWS key happened to scroll by. And so the call obviously is being recorded. And so we they were given time to rotate their key before before the recording gets posted live.
I've gotten so many free hours of EC2 server time off of Zoom webinars. So.
Okay, I'm back. Sorry for that. Okay, so after you log into Azure without an error, you would receive this prompt. Now, this prompt can be embedded in an email or embedded into another UI of an application. You can put rules in front of accessing it, et cetera. But again, essentially, this is a credential to a QR to issue that employee ID credential that I was sharing in the configuration example. So here you see that employee ID credential coming to the wallet, and I'm just accepting that. And so now that credential is available for use in any of the applications that are protected by it. So I'll just show a quick example of how an application is protected, can be protected by a verifiable credential. So in this case, we have a common application, a company Zoom account, and this is a production Zoom account that you would all be familiar with. In this particular case, we have several IDPs associated with it, just to show the art of the possible. Here we have a Azure AD instance, and down here you see some of the different rule types that can be applied. So if you want to block Smiths or Steves, or allow only your European executive team and maybe not your contractor team in another geography, if you want to do IP based exceptions, really whatever you want, you can control in a really fine-grained way. But keeping the focus on digital credentials, we have a unique configuration element for any kind of a verifiable credential proof, which is, in this case, the schema from the credential that I just demonstrated is applied to this service. Now you can mix and match schemas. Basically, add any type of schema you want. If you have, if you have a unique use case requirement. So, but really, as Zoom is supporting SAML as its protocol, and IDRAM works as the translator in as part of that orchestration concept to help apply a verifiable credential level of protection to a common service that an enterprise might be working with. And makes it a bit stronger just in terms of even the control, because Zoom only really needs your email and your name, but we're asking for a little bit more here, like an employee ID, and I'll just show you that on the front end of Zoom. So here you see the different IDPs coming up for login, but again, we're going to go for a verifiable credential login, and now let me just scan that. And so now I have that credential, and I can log right into Zoom. And there you have it. So it's a very simple approach to help customers really uh, take take technology like verifiable credentials and have sort of a basic level administrator be able to create an issuance and a verification configuration without any coding or technical complexity, and be able to apply it and then, you know, change it over time in a much easier way today, you know, by abstracting the endpoint from any one master identity provider. There's a lot of agility that a customer can experience with a platform like IDRAMP. Now, one just final note on, I had mentioned the factor, the option to merge with different factor providers. I won't go through the whole flow because it would take too much time, but to add different factors, you would simply enable or disable them. You can sequence them in whatever order your authentication flow might be. But again, so here we have TrustStamp, which is, they provide ancillary identity proofing. And so just going back to that Zoom login to show you, so now we've enabled TrustStamp on the digital credential login. So I'll scan that, and then I should be verified to proceed, and then I should receive another prompt to proceed through the TrustStamp verification process. So again, I won't go through that. That requires license scan, selfie scan, et cetera, and provides additional layer of security. It's not uncommon for some of our use cases to have several layers of factors that need to be added for really the most robust security scenarios. So, okay. So now that's the core platform of IDRAMP in a real quick nutshell, but also we provide a series of APIs to help developer partners create new types of products and services. And one of those products that I'm going to give you a brief snapshot of today is something that's called Zoom Bouncer. And what Zoom Bouncer does is it enables organizations to put a verifiable credential in front of their Zoom meetings to protect against things like Zoom hijacking and the like. So here we have just a standard meeting that's protected by this service. So let me just go ahead and open that. So here you see Bouncer is not letting you in that meeting. It's providing this UI to have an email verification QR. So I just go ahead and scan that QR. And I should, after sending this in, I'm not sure what's going to happen from a Zoom perspective, but so then I have the option to join that Zoom meeting, which I won't. And again, this is another example of how you could take this technology and put it into a very familiar type of use case, and then make the administration and configuration of it very simple. Again, where Zoom's concerned, you can create authentication profiles. Well, I think that's what they call them. And in those profiles, you can put in ancillary authentication services. And in this case, we've used that capability within Zoom to marry a very simple configuration concept for verifiable credentials as a means to protect Zoom. And again, that we're also working on converging this with biometric verification partners right now too, because they have particular customers interested in this use case. So that's my show and tell part of my presentation. But if anyone has any questions, thoughts, concerns, please share.
Carl. Good question. Is that what you did with Zoom? Is that going to be a product that you sell that you add on, that customers would add on into Zoom, or is that something that they'll be able to pull? I know Zoom has kind of a marketplace of products.
That's correct. And it is in the App Store now, Zoom's App Store, I should say, I think Bouncer is the product name. So you would just, you log into Zoom. If you select that app, then you'd be, and then if you're administrator of that Zoom account, you can then have the option to link Zoom Bouncer with your account, and then it's really no more than a 10-minute configuration to wrap a verifiable credential around a Zoom meeting.
That's excellent. Very exciting. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Kyle, do you have your hand raised from before? Did you just
For now? No, I'm not totally familiar with the ID ramp solution, but maybe a quick question. The wallet, like the mobile app wallet, is that a cloud-based connected wallet, or is that a local wallet on the actual phone?
That is a local wallet on the actual phone.
Okay.
It may be worth noting for this community. I'm not a developer, so please keep that in mind, but we are just moving to bifold and Occupy now. So actually we're about ready to release that this week as a headline for, and we're very excited about that particularly as well, if that's of interest.
Oh, that is of interest. I'm working with the BC government and we're developing a wallet for citizens in BC, and it's based on the Aries bifold. The enterprise product that we're developing is based on Akapai. So that's the cloud-based one, right? So,
yeah, anything to get away from Xamarin.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for this demo, Carl. I had a quick question. On the window you showed that says Bouncer would like to receive your email and you can choose to send it or not send it, when there are more layers to verification, does this allow selective disclosure or predicate proofs as well?
Yeah, you can design the proofs, you know, dynamically to minimize any information or blind any data.
Okay, cool. So that screen would just show different attributes that you could reveal or partially reveal.
Correct.
Cool. That was really interesting.
Thanks, Char.
Are there other questions for Carl on this demo?
Yeah, sure, Carl. This is Dan. So I've worked with Trust Stamp a bit in the past, and I'm familiar with some of their tech. But it sounded like you weren't quite sure how or where Trust Stamp played a role in your solution stack.
Oh, apologies for that impression. Trust Stamp is a partner of ours, and you know where they sit in our solution is they're a factor provider that can be added to the authorization flow for any specific use case. So in terms of the Bouncer application and access to Zoom, for example, you can add, you know, a factor like Trust Stamp or an authentic ID, which are two of the examples that I provided. But, you know, we support interoperability with any factor provider that may be required for KYC, proofing, biometrics, et cetera.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, because when I work with them is on the biometric side, and their uniqueness or whatever is that they do predictive hash matching, basically. So they do biometric matching in the encrypted domain, in the hash domain. So what you're gaining is privacy. You're giving up a little bit of matcher performance. In other words, all biometric matching has type 1 and type 2 errors, false match, false non-match. And so by predictive hash matching, you're not sharing your biometric template, you're only sharing hashes, but you're giving up some of that performance. I was just wondering where that fits in, but you're saying it fits in if you want to use a Trust Stamp biometric matching component, you're saying you can with your solution stack.
That's exactly right. And thank you for that. That's a much better description of the virtues of Trust Stamp than I could have done. So appreciate that, Dan.
Okay.
And that's exactly the way it sits in our offerings. So they we make it easy for them to interoperate, to add Trust Stamp to their customer ecosystems, and they make it easier for us to add that new capability for our customer ecosystems, as we do with our other factor providers there.
Okay, cool, thanks.
Well, Carl, it was great to learn more about the IDRAMP platform and see how you'd use it to join a Zoom meeting. Really appreciate it, and thanks for taking the time to tell us about it.
Thank you, Char, and thank you everyone for the opportunity.
We're glad to have you. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to bring before the group before we close it out? Or any final questions for Carl? Great. Well, thank you all so much for taking the time to join the call. Thanks again, Carl, for the great demo. And we'll see you all in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you, Char.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.